I think this is probably one of my favorite questions that people ask me. It's how do you avoid student loans or student debt, whatever you want to call it? And they say that college costs way too much. And then I usually say the same basic thing to them. I'm like, well, what school did you decide to go to, or what school, are you planning on to go to, and what's your point of going there? What's your major? Not even really what's your major as much, but just a couple basic really things like how do you plan on paying for it? Because I sort of agree with Dave Ramsey, if you watch him at all or listen to him at all, in regards that we don't necessarily have a major student loan crisis, but at the same time, even I will admit the cheapest colleges out there are more expensive than they were 20, 30 years ago. But then again, at the same time, there's a lot more people going to school, going to college, getting that upper education, whether it be undergrad, graduate, PhD, whatever it might be. And there's still a lot of people making very, very stupid decisions with that. I totally agree with Dave Ramsey on that part. One thing, first off, if you're planning on to go to college and you do, it doesn't even matter where you're going, honestly. If you don't want to, if you're just going to even the basic in-state public school or even a community college, you should 100% be applying for scholarships. This is one thing that I totally missed out on, and I wish I wouldn't have, but I was just a little bit naive in high school on how much college actually costs, and I honestly just didn't even realize how many opportunities there were out there. But even if you just go to your school and go to your, I don't know, whoever it might be, guidance counselor, and be like, hey, are there any scholarships from school that I can get in, or are there any scholarships that know of at all? I guarantee they'll give you a list of at least 10 to 20 different scholarships that might apply to you. Now, some out there, especially if you're a minority or if you have some sort of, I don't know, economic disability or something like that, then there's a better chance that there might actually be more out there for you, because it tends to be, from my experience, have a little bit more scholarships, I guess, lean towards people that might have less privilege than more, which obviously makes sense. They're not trying to get the, rich, I guess, I don't want to say white kids, but they don't want to give, a rich middle class kid more of a chance to get a scholarship than someone who might need it a little bit more, which, makes sense to me. But so you definitely have to go first to your school guidance counselor, ask if there's any scholarships they have out there, and then as well to you can search online, you look at the colleges you're applying to, see if they actually offer any scholarships, look around town. I know local sports teams, around sport team, I actually got like a slight scholarship from my high school football team. It was only a few hundred dollars, but that's still a few books that they bought for me. You got to look at your sports teams. I know fire departments, police departments. I mean, literally anywhere around your town, there's a good chance that you could find one. And if not, at least you're, looking, at least you're trying a little bit, even if you can't find them. Now, besides scholarships, I think is a very obvious thing. There's no reason at all you shouldn't be applying to at least 10 scholarships. Because if you're applying to 10, let's say you're even getting a very low return rate, let's say you're getting 10% of the scholarships, at least you're getting one scholarship. And obviously that goes up and up and up. But straight up academic scholarships are somewhat difficult to get. I don't think every single person out there has a 98 GPA or a perfect SAT ACT score, but I'm going to get on to that later in the video. The next thing I think that's really huge about the loan crisis is the fact that I go to a public SUNY school and I pay roughly $9,000 a year total. I don't dorm. I live at home. I don't pay for anything extra than what I have to. The only things I pay for are tuition, and if you go to college and you've seen your bills before, they tack on a lot of fees as well. And I don't think it necessarily matters as much with a school like that, what sort of loan you do, because I'm not taking out a lot of debt at all. I pay some of it off as I go. And I think just school choice is so huge. First thing, in state versus out of state. Going out of state, unless you're getting some huge scholarship or you've done enough scholarships to where you're paying that off, going out of state is just ridiculous, because every single school, no matter where you go, literally charges you almost $10,000 more a year just for simply not living in the state. And this goes for public, private, any school out there. I've not seen a single school that charges you, you know, less or something, or charges you as much. Going out of state, absolutely insane. There's no reason for that, once again, unless you have amazing financial aid or amazing scholarships and it's all getting paid for, but then you're probably not even watching this video. Another thing you should look at is public versus private. I don't think there's a whole lot of a major difference between going public or private. You know, yes, if you're going to, you know, community college versus an Ivy League school, that you're probably going to get a pretty different pay rate when you leave the school, regardless of what you go for. But one thing to take into consideration is just that public versus private. Are there some cheap public or private schools out there, and are some there some more you know, expensive public schools? Yeah, sure, definitely. I've seen some very expensive public schools that are, you know, more than private schools. But at the same time, I'm from New York. Would I rather go to SUNY Buffalo or would I rather go to Syracuse? You know, Syracuse is about 50-40k a year, not including dorm, and SUNY Buffalo is about 10k a year. You know, not including dorm, just tuition, and they are very, very similar in terms of education. And, you know, ranking-wise in the state, actually, I think they're like both one and two, maybe besides a couple other schools, but I'm not in the state, actually, in the, like, Western New York area. They're very close in terms of rankings, so it's not as if there's, like, that much of a drop-off in terms of, you know, the type of education you're getting. And, you know, private versus public, a lot of people have that debate, but that's just my opinion on it. But I definitely think if you're looking at public schools, this difference between schooling isn't that much different at all. And, you know, if you're going to, let's say, where I live again, if you're going to University of Buffalo versus, I don't know, another public school in the area, you know, is there a slight drop off between some schools? Yeah, sure. But is it that much of a difference to where you should be going, I don't know, out of state to a different public school? No, of course not. I think that, you know, is where people start running up those costs again. Another couple things to consider is not only just going out of state, but going to a school far enough away from home to where you could dorm, which I do understand. You know, you might not have a car or something like that, and I know I personally would not want to drive a half hour to school or something like that, so don't go to a school that's 45 minutes away from your house. And don't ever dorm if it's close to your house or if it's within driving distance. First off, even if you're, let's say, I don't know, maybe you sort of live in a rural area, you're not near any schools or anything like that, and you decide to dorm rather than buying an apartment near there. I mean, you're literally getting charged more for the same exact thing. Just simply buy an apartment, you know, near the school rather than dorming, because it never, I've never seen a case ever where it makes more sense to dorm than buy an apartment. Now, obviously, I'm not saying go buy, you know, a studio apartment in Manhattan or something like that. But at the same time, I'm not saying, you know, go buy a little, you know, shithole, because you obviously don't want your kid or yourself living in a horrible, horrible apartment. But if you have to buy some sort of housing because of how far you live away, or, you know, it makes sense, because I know, luckily I live in an area where I'm surrounded by a lot of colleges, but I know a lot of people aren't like that and they're not in that sort of circumstance. So that's definitely not a big deal at all. It's totally understandable if you have to move out of your parents' house because, or you have to, you know, your kid has to move out because they, have to, you know, drive extremely far. I think it, you know, it probably doesn't even make sense with gas wise to having to drive an hour every single day to school. But anyways, moving on to a couple other things of, you know, how to avoid student loans. Probably one of the biggest things as well is to not go to college and waste time. And it's totally okay to go to community college with a undeclared major. A lot of people think it's a bad thing to go undeclared, and I have no idea why people think that. If anything, it's honestly a good thing to go undeclared rather than going to some random major that you don't, you know, that maybe isn't very practical, or maybe isn't make a whole lot of sense to you, or you don't really know if you enjoy it or not, if you're going to be able to find a job in the field. A lot of kids don't even consider going undeclared, which I honestly wish I would have gone to college undeclared, because I had no idea what I wanted to do yet. And a lot of kids, I don't know if they're like, I feel like from high school going into college, your guidance counselor sort of tells you you have to pick a major, which is just not true at all, because they have undeclared majors for a reason. And that, you know, if you go undeclared, you can get your electives out of the way, you can get your gen eds out of the way without necessarily having to commit to a major, because a lot of the times if you're taking major dependent classes, especially earlier in your college career, and you end up switching, those classes don't carry over to a major. It's just, you know, how credits work in college. It's not, you know, end of the world if you're taking a couple extra credits, but then if you end up getting behind, that's going to, you know, obviously cost you more. That's another problem why I think a lot of people hold a lot of student loans, is that they don't realize that if you end up switching your major five times, if you end up taking a lot of BS classes that aren't counting, if you end up transferring and doing all that kind of stuff, then your costs of college go up way more, because if you're paying for an extra whole year of college, even if you're going to a cheap school, that's an extra year that you're paying for. You don't, you know, get that beginning year back. And even if some cases they don't even offer financial aid if you continue to go on college past 4, or some cases for some people even 5 years of undergrad. Graduate school is totally different with that, but if you decide in undergrad that you switch your major 5 times and you end up going a lot longer than you expected, you are not going to be very happy when you have to go back to school, you know, or continue on for 5th year of college. That's another thing that I think a lot of people get trapped into. You don't have to figure out your major day one of college. Go undeclared, try out some gen eds. A lot of schools have programs to help you out, to try to figure out what you like, to take some tests, to even take a one credit, you know, pass fail class to figure it out. There's a whole lot of resources at college. Figure out what you want to be your major, and you know, don't just jump into something because, you know, maybe your mom told you to, or a guidance counselor told you to, and, you know, when you were a junior in high school. You know, speaking on behalf of the major thing, I know Dave Ramsey, actually, I keep bringing him up because I actually just watched a video of his on this, and a lot of other people advocate not to choose, to choose majors that are practical. So go to college studying something that you think you're going to get a job in. And I have to argue against this in a few ways. One, a lot of the people telling you this, they're not experts in other fields that you might be interested in. I mean, you can pretty much choose any college major you want and get into a field of interest. Now, I think the main issue people have with this is that you're choosing fields that are low pay, but you enjoy doing it, and then you come out of college with major college debt, and you're just, you know, you went to a too expensive school and didn't choose a job or a major that has a job field that pays enough to pay off that college. And once again, if you follow some of the steps in the beginning of this little podcast, you won't have that problem. So let's say I choose a major. I'm not actually going to do a real example because I don't want to, like, offend anyone, or, you know, I really don't know, honestly, the pay field in some of these majors. But let's say you choose a major that, I don't know, their average pay out of college is only like $30,000 a year starting. And let's say you go to a super expensive private school and you're $200,000 in debt. Now, obviously, pretty much regardless of what you chose your major to do, you're probably not going to be making enough money to pay off this debt. Whether or not you chose the $30,000 major a year after college or the $100,000 major a year after college, you're not going to be able to pay off that debt. Now, let's say you went to a SUNY school or just a public cheap school. You got your scholarships. Maybe even you went to a year to a community college and you have only $10,000 of debt after college. Now, this is absolutely huge, and I think, you know, that doesn't matter what your major is. You're making $30,000 a year starting off, and, you know, you only have $5,000 in loans or $10,000 in loans to pay off. Yeah, that's doable. I mean, that is 100% doable. You can pay that off in a few years if you're financially smart and financially sound. I think a lot of people think that these majors are so bad because kids are going to private schools and they're paying insane amount to go to these private schools to get majors that aren't going to pay it off. And, you know, even if they are getting majors that they think are going to pay it off, in the long run, they're just taking up too much college debt and not doing enough in that time. But that, I don't think the major matters as much as people think it does. Personally, even though this is going off track a little bit of the student loans, I think a lot of jobs out there that, you know, in the past were traditionally very high paid, that, you know, sort of jobs that are, I don't know, there's a couple fields that I think off the top of my head, like, in my field, I guess, the sort of job of a accountant, a financial advisor, jobs like that, I truthfully think are going to be obsolete in the next 5 to 10 years. That's why I'm not trying to do that for those kind of jobs. Some jobs, like I even think jobs like surgeons are going to be obsolete. Certain doctor jobs are going to be obsolete. Certain engineering jobs are going to be obsolete because of the power of AI and just the fact that, why have a doctor or human do surgery when they have a really high error rate, when in 10 years you could have a little robot arm that does the surgery just as good in less times, cheaper, and you don't have to pay them as much. It just sort of makes more sense that way. But that's just my personal opinion. There's a lot of speculation there. Not saying that if you're going to school for this, it's anything bad. But, same with financial advisor. I don't think this job's actually going to be a job in 5 to 10 years. I think the career field is totally going to die because brokerages, big banks are just solely going to switch to online robo-advisors, things like that. You can already see them popping up. You can see them being hugely successful already, and I think they're going to continue to be successful in the future. I just don't really see any way around that. Once again, there's no point in paying a financial advisor as a brokerage account business owner $200,000 to $300,000 a year to do something that you could have a computer do better, faster, easier for less money. I mean, you can literally hire one engineer, two engineers, maybe a handful of them to do the job of 20, 30 people, create a one-time program, and then, keep those same guys on your team for a few years or so. But, it just doesn't make any sense to be paying these guys, insane amounts to do something that you could have a computer do. So, a lot of these quote-unquote practical majors and practical job fields that people are getting into are going to become obsolete, in my opinion. And I think actually there's going to be a lot more emphasis on creative jobs because those, creative human experiences can't necessarily be reflected by a robot or by an AI, even though people are trying hard to. I think they're just kind of replicating us, not actually, replicating creativity and things like that. So I think those creative jobs, especially one of the biggest job fields, I think in the next few years is going to be absolutely huge, is graphic design, video editing, videography, photo editing, things like that, photography, because every single business out there should, right now, even if they don't, they're going to get beat by everyone else, but every single business out there should have a videographer, not a photo person necessarily, but a sort of person to do their pictures online, their social media, a graphic designer. They should, it could just be one person doing all this depending on your company size, but especially those Fortune 500 companies, huge market cap companies, even small ones, you should always have a handful of people working on that stuff. Now, obviously, if you're just the local plumber, you're probably not going to have 14 different people doing your social media accounts, but there's so many companies out there that I think will be in desperate, desperate need of a social media expert or someone to just simply draw pictures on their website or do their website design, things like that. So graphic designers, those type of creative jobs that in the past probably didn't get paid very much and had a very, very limited job field are going to be huge. But that's sort of besides the point of this video and of the topic of this video. I guess lastly, to start off on, teach your kids to avoid student loans. One thing that I see a lot of people not doing in college is they're not working during college, like the kids. Like, there is no reason that you shouldn't be working and adding up into a savings account. I personally work anywhere from 25 to 30 hours a week. Now, is it important to do your schoolwork versus working? Yes, you should totally be doing your schoolwork. That's the whole point of college. You should not be working 40, 50 hours a week. I think if anyone's telling you that, they're not, they're expecting way too much of you. That's too stressful. You probably don't even have enough time, honestly, to work that much and sleep a normal amount of time. But I think your kids, if you're a kid watching this or if you're a parent watching this, huge way to help with student loans is to work during your college career. There's really no excuse, and I will admit that if you are not working, you're probably going to get better grades because simply you just have more time. But then again, at the same time, I think employers really do care and acknowledge that you might have a little bit less of grades if you've been doing work outside of school, because that makes sense. I think a lot of employers like that rather than having a slightly better GPA and not working, simply because if you're only going to school and maybe you're in a couple of clubs, they're kind of like, okay, what's this guy doing with his time? What's he, is he able to multitask? Is he able to tap a lot on his plate? Probably not. I think it not only, you know, looks good on a resume, working all through college, but also it's just good in general to be able to do multiple things at once. I mean, to be able to handle two different experiences, like school and work, probably total two different spheres right there, especially during college, because you're probably working like a retail or a restaurant job or, you know, something in that field. And I think it just helps a lot to work, not only in terms of monetary, but on resumes and just for future experiences. So working during college, not necessarily saying that you have to be paying it off as you go, because that might not be applicable if your household income is low and if you're trying to save money. I don't think that's a bad thing to not be paying it off and just trying to be waiting. But at the same time, you shouldn't be having those huge loans where you need to pay them off if you're following what I said in the beginning of the podcast. But anyways, guys, that's it for today. I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, leave a rating on iTunes, or I don't know if SoundCloud even has ratings. I mean, it's on both those right now. And, you know, guys, another thing too, I have my YouTube channel, which you're probably coming from, but I also have my Instagram account that I have been posting on more recently. Definitely check that out. It's just Jake Jones Investing, and it's going to be a bit more active than my personal one. So definitely head over and check that out if you guys have an Instagram. But other than that, guys, I hope you enjoyed the podcast.